Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio Show and a very happy big 2020 to everyone. My guest for this morning is Debbie Anderson. Debbie is an internationally known clairvoyant born in England. She experienced spirit communicating phenomenon from early childhood. Debbie is one of the leading experts in North America on the use of oracle cards. Her four acclaimed, gorgeously illustrated vibrational energy decks for adults and children have sold more than 20,000 decks. Debbie and I will be having a conversation about her remarkable life's journey and how you can clear and enhance your vibrational energy to maximize your intuitive skills to achieve success in 2020. Good morning, Debbie. A very happy new year to you, and welcome to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio.
And a happy new year to you, Joni, and everybody that's listening in today.
Fantastic. It is wonderful, a pleasure, and a treat to have you on the air with me. I am very excited to start 2020 and the new decade, I might add, with you this morning.
Absolutely.
And learn more about vibrational energy and your very successful, beautifully illustrated oracle card. So congratulations on that.
Thank you so much. And without all the other people that become part of that, the artists and the graphic designers that pull everything together and the printers and the people that distribute my decks, it wouldn't have been happening. So thank you to all of them and obviously to Spirit, who created this all in the very first place.
Fantastic. Let us start by getting to know you a little bit better. Please give us a quick walkthrough of your life from childhood to the present moment. And by the way, we have the whole hour, you know.
Okay. Well, I won't drag on too much. It's funny because I've spoken to other people that are sort of clairvoyant or psychic or mediums or whatever title you like to give it. And there seems to be a thread that runs through everyone's life that has connected them to this point, you know. And mine wasn't an easy transition from when I was a child, because there were some difficulties there. I was growing up in an era where this kind of thing was not openly spoken about. I was born in 1957, and sort of 4 years into my life, my parents decided that their marriage was not working for them. So my mother, my twin brothers, and myself ended up at my grandparents' house. And, of course, in those days, as I share with people, children were seen and not heard. We had to be quiet, and my grandparents, obviously, having this whole gaggle of family arriving on their doorstep, had to adapt to it. So going to bed fairly early, being quiet during the daytime. So I learned to sort of not isolate myself, but to have my imaginary friendships, if you like. And of course, you know, like little girls did in those days, they played with tea sets and dressing up and that kind of thing. And that was my connection with Spirit. And of course, it didn't really start off with a, hey, this is Spirit, let's come in and join the party. Mine was, you know, a little bit of a scary experience for a child anyway. When I kept waking up, and the first time it happened, it was like the seeing was being peeled back. These little ethereal beings, spirit beings, were coming to the end and sitting on my grandmother's bed and just smiling at me. But from my perspective, it was like, oh, my gosh, what's happening here? So, of course, like small children do, I cried, got very upset. My mum came up and said, oh, you're just having a bad dream. Go back to sleep again. So I think they realized that was not the way to communicate with me. So I think the imaginary friend side was really a good connect there. And, of course, like children today, which I call precocious children, that say these very out there kind of things. And we go, we sort of look at them like, how did you know that? I was one of those. And it sort of got me into trouble throughout my childhood into my teenage years, so much so that my mum, when I was in my teenage years, took me to see a psychiatrist. And, you know, in those days, especially in England, the thought of saying, hey, I'm seeing things and I'm talking to these imaginary friends sort of bordered on the lines of being either psychotic or having schizophrenia. So I quickly shut that down because I would have ended up in a mental institution, I'm quite sure. And as much as I like to be in a padded room sometimes and want to throw myself around and scream something out of me, I certainly didn't want to have it as 24/7 for the rest of my life. So Spirit pulled away then and sort of said, you know what, we're just going to leave you for the moment. You're going to have to take the rap on this kid and say that you made it all up, and then we'll move forward as we go on in life. And that was sort of, you know, I say to people, when Spirit is there, they're there for us 24/7, but they know sometimes we have what I think human things going on. You know, my childhood things, and I got married, and I had a son. So we have all those things that come in and play a bigger part in our lives. So Spirit sort of take the sit on the back burner for a little bit and go, you know what, when you're ready, we're here for you, but we're still going to help and guide you. So that's sort of what happened. In my 20s, I was very lucky to get to go to the Arthur Findlay College of Metaphysics, as it's called then, in Essex, in England. And, you know, I'm always a kid at the Hogwarts. It truly, you know, they had the long bench tables where we would sit for lunchtime. And, you know, when we all got together, like-minded people chattering away into the early hours of the morning, it certainly was a really great connect. And being able to work with some amazing mediums and healers at that time, it was just, you know, one of those things, we've all had that in our life. It's like, please don't ever take me away from here. I want to be here forever, kind of thing. But, of course, we have to move forward with anything, and that's what I did. And over the years, I've worked and honed my skills and continue to do my work and let Spirit really not take the reins and lead me along, but guide me in the direction that I need to go. So that's sort of bringing it up to present moment in my life. So hopefully that's understandable. And I know a few people listening and they'll go, oh, that's, you know, these are the kind of things that's going to happen to me too in my childhood. And just to step back from that, all children when they're born, in fact, everybody is psychic when they're born. We usually have it up to around about the age of 8 years of age. And then at that point, that's where we go into that process in life where it's like, okay, I've got to focus on this. I've got to do this. So I have to put away my childhood things, kind of thing. And that's what I pin it to. But we all have that ability. And that psychic ability is always still there. It's like a little seed inside of us that sometimes just has to be opened up now and again. You know, and I say to people, we do it on a sometimes on an irregular basis. You know, that time when we have that sense, oh, I haven't heard from a friend in a while, or I really truly think I need to call somebody, or, you know, we bump into them or something like that. In fact, I was just thinking about you. That's really our psychic side, our guardian angel, or our guides and helpers, or the universal love of God, or whatever we like to call it. Little indicators that we get all the time. And so it's not that we've lost anything or that we haven't got it. It's just sometimes we're so busy that Spirit just gives us that little, hey, don't forget, or do this, or this kind of thing. And, you know, whether you call it intuition, your sixth sense, or your spideys, or spidey sense, as I call it sometimes, it's there for all of us, all throughout our life. We just need to tap into it from time to time.
Very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. The million-dollar question is that when you were growing up, though, did you use Spirit to help you to ace all the examinations?
No, I truly wish that was the case. I was one of those children that I think you would say an average. You know, I never aced at anything. I loved writing, so maybe that was my gift from Spirit to be able to communicate with words. So, and I think we all have a gift, whether it's numbers, whether it's art or sports or something. We have something there that's in us from the time we're born up until the time we die. Mm-hmm. And whether we tap into that or use it, I don't know. But, yeah, I wish they had. It would have been so great just to, you know, turn up and then everything be given to me. And, you know, a lot of people think, oh, well, you're a psychic. You must know what the winning lottery numbers are. I said,
right.
You don't give that kind of stuff to me. On occasions I wish they would. But I think they give us the things that are needed rather than the things that we feel we want. And maybe
right.
if I had the $2 or $3 million that were rolling around there, I wouldn't be more focused on what I do. So, you
right.
know, maybe it would take me away from this or, you know, make things more complicated. So, yes, like everybody, like, of course I want to win the lottery, or of course I want to. But I suppose for me, I should really go out and buy a ticket if I want to do that. And I won't.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't push it. No, I never aced anything. I was probably the B-plus average student,
mm-hmm.
you know, so...
Mm-hmm.
And that was okay, you know. I was one of those kids that didn't quite fit into all the boxes that were set
mm-hmm.
out for me. So that was okay too, you know. So any of you out there that are struggling with this in school, don't assume that it's not going to turn out the way you want it to turn out. You know, we
right.
all have choices. And school
right.
there is just a training ground, just like learning spiritual stuff.
Mm-hmm. So true. Were there other family members that were also gifted like you? Because usually that runs in the, so to speak, family, I guess, tree. So to
yeah.
speak.
Well, it was one of those things. It wasn't until many, many years later, and I say that when I was in my adult life, and I
mm-hmm.
sort of, because my mom always sort of says to, introduces me, or would introduce me to friends, and she's one of them. And, of course, people would look at me, and I would never quite know how to answer it. So I said, I'm a clairvoyant
mm-hmm,
medium,
mm-hmm.
you know, and do that. But my mum, she just didn't know how to express what I did. But it came out many, many years after my grandmother had died that she actually used to do tea leaf readings to people.
Very interesting.
In a day, in an era where there weren't tea bags
mm-hmm,
and a pot
mm-hmm.
of tea, and two ladies sitting down in the afternoon after they'd done all their chores would be something that was acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, my grandmother would, you know, take the, you know, the tea leaves would always be, they didn't use strainers as much in those days to strain the tea leaves off. So she would just, you know, get the person to drink the tea and they would have a conversation. And then she would just share things. And, of course, I don't think she ever identified it openly as that she
right.
was clairvoyant or a seer or whatever, because I think she would have been very much ostracized. But it was just one of those, you know, well, this is going on in your life, so this and this and this. Like sometimes
mm-hmm.
we do with friends, you know, we're picking up something, even if we don't realize that it's coming from spirit, as helping and directing somebody or answering them or just listening to them. And sometimes that's all that is needed, and I think this is what she did. And sadly, as a small child, I didn't get to know that, but
mm-hmm.
I can remember some incidences in my that my grandmother would do. And you know, as a healer as well as a tea leaf reader, you know, if as children,
right.
and of course, this is something parents and grandparents do, I think, that you know, when a child falls down in something, you know, my grandmother would have this little teddy bear which she kept in a matchbox. My grandmother was an avid smoker,
mm-hmm.
which was something of those days, and she would pull it, she would just give me the matchbox, and she said, well, he's in there, but you just have to work out which side he's in, because in those days matches were in a big box and there was just a little divider in the middle, which I didn't realize as a child. And of course,
mm-hmm.
she would just make me guess which side the teddy bear was on. So I think that was her way of maybe helping me develop my psychic gifts, which I didn't
mm-hmm.
realize
mm-hmm.
at the time. But, you know, if I find the teddy bear, you know, that was the magic teddy bear that would, you know, cure the pain that was going on my scuffed knee or something like that. So, you know, and that was sort of her way of doing healing, I think. So, and of course, as a child, you got to hold this very little special bear, which
mm-hmm.
I loved because
mm-hmm.
it was this bear didn't come out only if there was some healing needed to be done or if you were crying or something like that. So it was a very special little bear. And it was always
very,
easy
very
because,
interesting.
You know, so, you know, I think there were things that I didn't realize at the time, but now as I've grown up and
mm-hmm.
that was discussed to me, I'm like, oh, yeah, my grandmother did do that. So it was a lovely blessing.
Right, right. Did you ever sort of question spirit in a way and ask, why me?
I think I do on those tough times in life, like any of us, like, why is this happening to me? Or why me? What's going on? Mm-hmm. I always say, what did I do wrong? Just about something that comes out of us. Like, what am I doing wrong? Or what did I do wrong? Or, you know, so I questioned it as far as in those particular essences, and especially at those times when there were tough things going on in my personal life, that spirit were there for me, but they didn't interfere. And I think that's for all of us there, that they just guide us. And, of course, we have free will. So it's mm-hmm. our decision whether or not we go that route. And, mm-hmm. you know, I always say there's no wrong or right answers there. Spirit is just there because they love us and they want to help us. And if we choose to turn right instead of left when they're saying turn left, they're not going to chastise us. They're not going to say, hey, you're on your own. Go for it, you know. Mm-hmm. They'll just mm-hmm. wait until we come back on that pathway again. So they're very, you know, they're not like us caught up in these emotions that sometimes we have to prove ourselves. We have to prove we're better than somebody, or we have to prove we're the best at what we do or something like that. They're just there in pure love. And that's why, you know, I say to people, this is why we come in this incarnation, because we've chosen to go through these experiences, go through mm-hmm. these emotions, these feelings, these ups and downs, these highs and lows, the goods, the bads, and that kind of thing, so that we can understand that. Because mm-hmm. in spirit, it's just like, there's no time, there's no anger, there's no frustration, it's just love. I think for us as human beings, you know, I say to people, we're not here to suffer. We're here to experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we can take that experience and move it forward.
Very, very interesting.
Yeah, I always love the expression or the saying that somebody I heard many years ago, what doesn't mm-hmm. break us makes us stronger. And it is very true, even though sometimes I'm like, really? So it's, you know, that essence that we go, okay, so by experiencing this, I have a choice now. Do I do this again?
Right.
Or do I now say, okay, I've experienced this. I want to move on and experience something else.
That's true. That's very, very true. I heard a wonderful term or phrase that someone used, emotional passport. And one would think in terms of passport, right, we travel extensively and here, there, and so forth. But the emotional passport is that exactly what it is. You go through life experiences, and then you leave, you come back. So you got it all stamped all over the place, and you are a well-traveled person.
Absolutely. And sometimes I must say, like anybody else, I'm human, you know, so what is it, mm-hmm. prick me and I bleed. You know, when there's that really tough experience that you're going through, it's like, oh, my gosh, please let me get it right, because I don't want to have to come back and do this again. I really don't want to go through this this whole part of this journey again. You know, and I always say to people that life is made up of good, not so good, and things that we can grasp from it. So, you know, some people say the good, the bad, and the ugly, which sometimes it is. Maybe mm-hmm. we have to see the ugly to see the beauty. Maybe we have to see the beauty to see the other side of that coin, because everything in life is about balance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, mm-hmm. I always say to people, just think of a battery that goes into a flashlight or into something that we use. It has to have a positive end and a negative end mm-hmm. for it to actually engage and work. So that's us with a positive and with a negative. And we have choices in every situation in our life on how we're going to deal with that. And neither is right nor wrong. It's an experience.
Right, right, right. So true. By the way, you're listening to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. Our podcasts are available on Apple's iTunes, Stitcher's Radio, Blueberry Podcasting, TuneIn Radio, Mixcloud, and Google Play. I'm Johnny Tan, your host, and my guest for this morning is Debbie Anderson. Debbie is an internationally known clairvoyant born in England. She experienced spirit communicating phenomenon from early childhood. Debbie is one of the leading experts in North America on the use of oracle cards. Her four acclaimed gorgeously illustrated vibrational energy decks for adults and children have sold more than 20,000 decks. Debbie and I are having a conversation about her remarkable life's journey and how you can clear and enhance your vibrational energy to maximize your intuitive skills to achieve success in 2020. Debbie, what is vibrational energy?
That's a very good question. And I think this is where I need to sort of step back. You know, mm-hmm. vibration is basically a state of well-being, your vibration. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we wake up and we're feeling happy. Sometimes we wake up and we're feeling sad. So our universe is made up of all different frequencies that we get to experience. Think of it like a radio station.
Mm-hmm.
We can tune into the, hey, this is a great rock station, or we can tune into the talk show, or we can tune into whatever we want. So every single moment we have a choice of what we tune into. And I always say our thoughts and feelings, everything, our subconscious is transmitting a particular vibration into the universe at any given time. And as we said, we can feel good, we can feel mm-hmm. bad, we can feel indifferent. So there is no wrong or right vibration. It's just high and low frequencies. So it's purely what we transmit, and I always say from our heart center.
Mm-hmm.
It's in our aura, which is this magnetic invisible field that surrounds us. And to explain that a little bit further is, we've all had a situation in our life where we've gone into a room and we just thought, wow, this is really great, or get me out of here. And nothing's really been said, or it's not that we have the anticipation of leading up to that point. We've just entered mm-hmm. into it. Or we've gone and we've met somebody for the very first time, and we're going, wow, I could really resonate with this person. I'd like to talk to them more. I'd like to be their friend. Or again, ooh, I don't want to be standing here with this person. And again, if nothing has really been said, it's just that our aura is touching their aura, and they're sort of having like a little communication.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I say about the spidey sense. That's how we're feeling. And if we get that feeling of ickiness, or we get that feeling of elation, we'll move into that vibration, move into that feeling and go, okay, this is how this makes me feel. So I like this, or I don't like this, and then keep it in your monitor, I always say.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
when we're feeling low in our esteem, in our health, we can change that vibration by raising it up, because it's how we communicate with ourselves. Okay, we've had that. Sometimes mm-hmm. we get up in the morning, we look in the mirror, oh my God, who's this old lady looking back at me? I've done it. Hey, you know, guilty
yeah.
of charge. Or I look in there and go, hey, beautiful, what a great day. We're going to have fun. So we have that choice. And it's nothing to do with what's going on in our life. This is a choice of what's going on inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
And that is
mm-hmm.
how we emanate it outside. And, of course, some people might say, well, that's all very well for you, but I'm sure things in your life are really going great.
Mm-hmm.
No, they haven't always gone really great. But I choose to not surround myself or immerse myself in and around negative people. So if I'm feeling low in my physical well-being or my emotional well-being, I'm certainly not going to put on the news. I'm not going to
mm-hmm.
listen to some of the crapola that's going on in social media. I'm
mm-hmm.
going to
mm-hmm.
choose to place myself in a higher state of being, to maybe make myself laugh, maybe go outside and into the sunshine, or go for a walk in nature, or whatever it is that switches us on.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the choice of my well-being. And
very
if there are negative Nellies or Normans in your life, then
mm-hmm.
keep them afar. You don't have to let them in, because what happens when we let them in, you know, we're having a bad day. So we talk to the negative Nelly, and she's having a bad day. And eventually the two of you are so low down there, it's like, there's a hole there, and I know you're down there somewhere. Now, how the heck do I get out of here?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
raise up your vibration and place yourself in somewhere, in a situation, even if it's only switching on something on YouTube or on your TV or reading a book that raises you up or sitting somewhere. We have that choice, whether we have $1 zillion or zero in the bank. It's a state of mind. So that's what vibrational energy is, sort of in a potted version.
Right, right.
Every frequency that we feel in our emotions is how we set ourselves up to succeed or not succeed.
And that is, of course, the sort of the aura that we put out. I'm presuming, as you speak, I'm envisioning in terms of you're right, because we, as humans, we are cells put all together in a human form, and we all have this vibrational energy or that we transmit within ourselves as well as receiving energy. And,
okay, and that's true. And if we go back into Chinese culture, I think it's around about BC, 300 or 400 years BC, the word qi was the concept of every living thing had a life force, an energy that flows through it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exactly like the breath of life, the essence, the vital energy, whatever you like to call it. And anybody that's experienced acupuncture or Reiki or Shiatsu or any of those kind of healing practices, that's exactly what they base their energy is based on. It's balancing, as we talked about earlier, the male, the female, the left, the right, the yin, the yang.
Mm-hmm.
So it allows that flow through us. You know, so that's exactly what I call vibrational energy. It's the flow. And we have the choice of how we place that flow within us. And yet, if you are having a, you know, I would say sometimes we have a low day. So grab the ice cream carton out of the freezer and take a couple of spoonfuls. If it helps and makes you feel better, maybe you need to sit and chill out for the day, not become engrossed in everything that's not great around you. It's us in control of our thoughts and emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And I say in control of, i.e. we have the switch that we can flick on or flick off.
Very, very interesting. So please share with us the various decks that you have designed over the years with regards to vibrational energy.
So, yes, the decks do. They're connected with it. Because when I was creating the very first deck, the Vibrational Energy Oracle deck, you know, Spirit were just communicating with me that it needs to be a higher vibration. And I'm like, okay, how do you mean higher? What are your anticipation in here? And it was the words, the imagery, and I was blessed to work with a fantastic artist, Heather Brewster, who, when we had a conversation, she's like, well, so what are you expecting me to design for you? And I said, I'm not expecting anything. This is them upstairs. This is Spirit. They know that you know what to put into this. And, of course, she did that like I would do. Like, what? You know, so, hey, come on. We're human. It's a human response. Like, what? So, anyway, I said to her, look, I'll send you some of the words and see how they resonate with you and see what comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody that has the deck, the Abundant Blessings, the dream catchers, you know, when she started to bring those forth and show them to me, I'm like, I don't need to check in on you. You have this covered. You know, we'll just go with it. I know that Spirit know what they're communicating to you is exactly what they want from this deck. And that's how it all came together. That's basically it, you know. And that's how the other three decks have come together. Spirit has placed me. I always say, I've got a Google guide. And people laugh at me and they're like, what? I go, no, truly, if I'm looking for discovering someone or, you know, trying to find something online, I basically call on my Google Guide, as I call them, and sit there with the intention in that moment going, okay, this is what I'm hopeful to achieve from this. So help me, guide me here with what words I need to put into that bar there, to search bar. What do I need? Give me the words, give me the thoughts, give me the indications. And sometimes it's a full sentence when I'm typing in that little search bar because I can't express it in one or two words. And then things will come up from it. And here it's quite funny because on all four decks I have three different artists, and each one of those, after I went back into research and find them, they were not on page one of Google. So obviously spirit, when they want us to see something, they want us to identify something, well, put it in front of us. Well, make it happen. Like I had a lady just recently that had contacted me. She said, Debbie, I want to share this with you because it's so weird. And I said, okay, weird is my game, so I love that. And she said, well, I was asking spirit to send me a deck, an oracle deck, that would resonate with me. She said, I really wanted to raise my vibration and get it up higher. She said, and that's, I'm looking at lots of decks, and they just didn't resonate with me. She said, and all of a sudden, she said, I happened to switch on my phone. It had been switched off all night, so I switched it back on, and there was an image of one of your cards on there. And I think it was either Breathe Deeply or one of those. So she said, but then I switched my phone off again, and then I switched it back on, and it wasn't there. So she said, I remember the picture. So I went searching for it. And she said, and I really had to do a lot of research to find it. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry about this. She said, no, but here's the thing. She said, I had the tenacity to do this. I knew I wanted to find this deck. And she said, I ended up finding the children's deck that led me to the adult deck, the vibrational energy deck. And then I ordered it online from you. And I said, well, that's fantastic. She said, yeah, but it's even one more step than that. Because now I shared this story with you, and you and I have connected. And I thank you for that. So all of these little steps came into play so that Cara and I could have an email conversation.
Very interesting.
You have to look at the bigger picture. You know, what leads us to this point? What takes us to on this journey to where we go to? And, you know, people say, well, I get this sense from spirit, I need to do this or go here or say that or achieve that. But when I gather, it's not anything that I expected. It's not what they made me feel it was. That's a shame. But what did you get from that moment, from that being there on that workshop, in that situation? Well, I don't know. Oh, my gosh. Sometimes it's not the destination. It's the journey there or the people you meet or something else. And sometimes, and I'm, again, guilty of charge, sometimes it gets so blatant that we're like, tunnel vision. We're like, well, I've got to get there. I've got to. And we miss everything along the way, or when we get there, it's not exactly as we had portrayed it in our mind. And then we get disappointed. You know, I always say to people, if plans don't work out exactly as you have envisaged them in your mind, then step into that moment and see what else comes out of it. Because usually it's something much greater than you had an expectation of. But you have to be open to that. You know, sometimes plans don't go correctly in my life. Okay? And so, yes, I can get in that cubiness of being frustrated and annoyed, which I do. And then I'm like, okay, step back from this. Just step back. Take a breath. See what else comes out of this moment. What comes out of this meeting or non-meeting or whatever it is. See what happens. And that is when we get into that connection, that vibrational energy, that spiritual connection. That's when it really happens, that aha moment, that whatever it is that we call it, that's when it happens. And that's
very,
where
very
we have to be as human beings, open to the fact that sometimes we truly don't know what is important.
That's true. I'm looking at it more from this. Life is a buffet line. And then you get confused. The more choices you have, the more difficult it is to make decisions. And so I know people say, well, indecision is the decision itself and it's good at times. It's true. But then, you know, life does not take a pause.
No.
And if we pause too long, that's not healthy.
No. What I find is, like, I love that analogy of the buffet line, because sometimes we'll go somewhere and there's all these new choices.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I'm Taurean, so food, I love food, the smell, the taste, the experience. So what I have learned, and similar in life, is maybe take a little bit of everything on your plate, a teaspoon of it, and taste it. Try it. And if you like it, put it on your, yes, I want to do this, or this is the direction I want to go. And if you don't, then at least you tasted it. I can remember my son when he was growing up. He would have a friend around for tea or supper or something like that, and the child would say, no, I don't eat that. And I go, well, have you tried it? No. Well, if you've not tried it, you can't say you don't like it.
Right.
So if you tried it and you don't like it, I can accept that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's now a given. And I think this is things in life, like we sometimes step a lot into fear of, oh, this is because somebody has said, you know, you'll catch this or you'll get that or this won't happen or something. But we step into that fear. And then sometimes we just need to, even if it's baby steps, step our fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can remember the very first time of I was in Australia and I got to swim off the coral reef, and I didn't realize that when you step on the edge of that coral reef, it's not like walking into the sea, into the ocean, that it's a gradual thing. This is just a big drop, and I stood on the edge and I couldn't sit down because I wanted to sit down on the coral and just ease myself in. Well, the coral is very sharp and very rough, so you have to stand there and jump, and I could feel that fear coming in me of what if I go down there and something catches, you know, what if? And I just stood there and I thought, I wanted to do this. So why am I so fearful now it's come here? Because there's a different experience, a different anticipation here. I didn't realize this. So I just stood there for a moment and everybody else was jumping in and like, come on. And then I just did it. And I went down a little bit deeper, and as it came up, and my head came up back above the water, which it does because we tend to float. And I did actually have everybody was had the like a vest on, so the electric flotation device vest on. And I came back up, and I thought, wow, I did that! I actually did it. And then there was that whoopee going on inside of me. And then I went off and enjoyed the rest of the swim. But sometimes when we are faced with those things that we didn't realize, that we hadn't envisaged happening, because in our mind's eye, this is what we thought it was going to be, sometimes that's when we have to step into that fear, knowing in pure trust that everything's going to be okay. I had a safety vest, you know, like a flotation device.
Right.
What was the worst thing that was going to happen? Yeah, my head was going to go underwater, but I can hold my breath. I know how to do that. So there are those moments when we can take that and understand this is what fear is. It's the unknown. But then when we have the trust there with it, and we step into that, and I always say that you can't put I can't write you a little card that says trust, insert here and use when necessary. That's something that we have to feel within us. So
that's
hopefully
true.
People understand that a little bit more now, that sometimes there are those unknown factors out there, and we take that chance. We take that step, as it were. And usually it's something that turns out to be really great for us.
Very, very true. That's true. You're listening to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio, our podcast available on Apple's iTunes, Stitches Radio, Blueberry Podcasting, TuneIn Radio, Mixcloud, and Google Play. My guest is Debbie Anderson. Debbie is an internationally known clairvoyant born in England. She experienced spiritual communicating phenomenon from early childhood. Debbie is one of the leading experts in North America on the use of oracle cards. her four acclaimed generously illustrated vibrational energy decks for adults and children have sold more than 20,000 decks. Debbie and I are having a conversation about her remarkable life's journey and how you can clear and enhance your vibrational energy to maximize your intuitive skills to achieve success in 2020. I'm your host, Johnny Tan. Debbie, I had the privilege of having a deck of cards that you sent me. Thank you again for that. It's such a beautiful card, vibrational energy oracle cards, 52 cards, deck, and guidebook. And I love it. And what I like to do is that, can you walk us through on how to use them? I had a wonderful experience when I started out with this deck as I was preparing for the show about 3 weeks ago. The first card that I pulled out was Mystical Changeling. Tell us a little bit about that. And I know you'll be asking me about, like, what was I feeling at that time? And what I did was, and what I felt at the time was, I was in that transition moment, you know, like we're going into 2020, and after a very sort of very rough year in 1999, and as a matter of fact, the whole decade, so to speak.
And just to let you know, you're not alone in this whole, you know, the last 5 years of this last decade have been about transition and stepping into our vibration. And I say that to everybody, 2020 is about being in the I am vibration. And the I am vibration is looking after number one, you. Focusing on what you want. And that is not being selfish. It is actually being selfless or self-more. Because we're looking after us. And we're here on our journey, and that's what we're supposed to do. And look after ourselves all the way along. So, yes, when we are in transition. We're always in transition, I always say. There are little pockets of transition that go on, and when we need to be moved up, moved to the side, moved down, or whatever it is in our vibrations, then we should be open to that. So I love the fact you've got Mythical Changeling, because that is about transformation. It's rising above. Not letting things hold you down, being open to what is coming towards you. And the fact that you've actually put in the work. So when we put in the work, we actually put our energy behind it. And that's what it rises us above. So that's perfect. So talking about the any oracle deck that you're going to use, any deck of cards that you want to get, some direction on. There are three really easy steps. Firstly, like you did, before you played with the deck or used the deck, you were thinking about something. You were thinking about maybe something that was going on in your life, or you were hopeful of something coming forward, or whatever it was. So we had a connection to a question. We had a direction that we wanted to know about. And I always say to people, just take a moment to center into yourself. Like, let the busyness around you be shut off just for a nanosecond or two. And we know what that means. I've got a phone that pings and tings, and a lot of the time I do keep my pinger and tinger switched off because it's distracting. It's pulling me away from everything. So take a moment to center yourself onto what you want. Just like a person that's going to bake a cake, we have to get all the ingredients. So we have to set our intention on the ingredients. And then we have to have all the dishes and things that we need. And then we start to bake it. And that's exactly the same with using an oracle deck. We have a question, or we want some direction or an answer to something. So take a moment to focus on that. Maybe take a few breaths in and out just to be in our awareness. You know, sometimes the distractions fall away. Then we pick up the deck and we shuffle. Or if you can't shuffle them, put them on a nice flat surface and move them around, just like small children do. And try both. Like, if you're always used to shuffling a deck, try it the other way. You know, there are no set rules of engagement. There is no right way or wrong way to do this. There is just doing it. So shuffle the cards. Mm-hmm. If something shoots out or falls to the floor, then that is a card or cards that you should be using. That's fairly straightforward. Okay. So once we get the card we're guided to, or it happens, so there are no wrong cards. We always pick up the right card. We always are directed to the right card. Like you were directed to Mythical Changeling. You have 52 cards in that deck that could have come out, and that was the one. So that was giving you that little bit more information that you needed to have. So once we've shuffled the deck, we've got the cards, then the third part is, what is that card now telling you? Is it the words on the card, the colors, the imagery, the emotions we feel? So tap into all of that. What resonates with you? What's saying, hey, this makes sense? Or, no, this is not what I wanted to hear. Because that is sometimes the case when we get a card. It's like, no, I didn't want to hear this. I wanted the abundant blessing card. I wanted the blessings card. I didn't want the F word. I didn't want the life of beach. I wanted the others. So then we may reshuffle again and reshuffle again and reshuffle again. Don't do that. Okay? It's all horrible of you.
So
whatever
the
card you get is the right one.
Yeah. What's interesting about it is that this is in the process where I had just finished a show called From Chaos to Clarity, right? And then, of course, my life was somewhat in the chaos as well, looking forward like, okay, we're 3 weeks out here to the new year, and I sense a lot of things in my life that, okay, I'm going through this sine cosine cycle. I've been down, so now it needs to be going up. And then I did some numerology research, and I found out that I didn't even realize this, and my birth date turned up to be 33, which is a master teacher symbol.
So that's the Jesus, the Christ card, as I call it.
Yeah, and then I read about it and how my life had been difficult because it was meant to be difficult so that I'm an experiential speaker, so to speak. And I've always used the word experiential speaker when I speak. I'm a keynote speaker. And so it's quite interesting. Like, and guess what? I pulled the next card that I did. I did the one that came out was heal thyself. And then the ultimate card, I guess, in some way that came out several times over the several days that I played with the card, medicine wheel. I'm a healer.
Yeah.
In a different way. I mean, in a different way. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's something when a card, if you're shuffling a deck and you're asking a question and then the same card keeps appearing over a period of time, that is a very significant directional indicator for you. It's like, hey, take note of this.
Yeah.
And the fact that cards come up again, you know, I many years ago when I was promoting and marketing my deck, my first deck, I was out on the road and I would go to different places, different stores and down there so people could come along and play with the deck. And this particular one, a lady came in, she said, well, I'm waiting for my daughter and my mom. So I said, that's okay, you can pull a card if you like. So she said, okay, great. So she pulled a card and we had a chat about it. And then her daughter arrived and her daughter pulled a card. And I said to the lady, you can have another go if you wish. You know, you can play again. And the same card appeared, and she said, oh my gosh, this is too weird. Same cards appeared, and I said, well, that's a very significant card for you. Of course, then grandmother arrives, and the daughter's saying, hey, grandma, you know, mom picked this card, and she picked it twice, and so grandma picked a card, and I said to the lady, you want to try a third time? She said, sure, what's there to lose? And she picked exactly the same card. One in 52 chances, but to pick it three times, over a course of about 45 minutes. And I just looked at the lady and I said, I think Spirit is sending you a very, very clear message here. And I hope you resonate with it. I hope it connects with you. And she said, oh yeah, I got it. And I think this is something that when we're using cards, I always say playing with cards or whatever, an oracle deck, that this is something when we get that same card coming up, then the Spirit are really saying, hey, open your eyes, open your heart, be present, be aware. And so, and I love the three parts that you had chosen for you. Because the spirit chooses for us. We do the shuffling. We just make it happen. Because they're all very good indicators that there is a lot of change coming up in 2020, but based on what you have put into action. So in other words, these are things you want to happen, not things that are going to be forced upon us where you go screaming into the night. So there are changes coming up. I'm just shuffled here, and I will tell you, the card that has just come up is Heal Thyself for you. And that was one that you said you had drawn. Yeah?
Right.
So
yes.
Again, the healing there is not only for yourself, it's for others too. So I gather that there are some people around you that are still in that transition of understanding their own spiritual journey, and you're trying to help them. But as I said at the beginning, 2020 is a decade where we can step into our own vibration of what we need to achieve. And by doing that, it does actually help others.
That's very interesting, though, because that's very, very interesting what you just said, because I'm doing more life and career coaching. I'm helping people, right? And then the other thing is that I'm rolling out within the next week here or so, I do inspirational quotes. And these are, for lack of a better term, I move to write those quotes. And so I'm going to be rolling them out in on the what I've set up is called Joyful Living Clothing. You know, that's those quotes on T-shirts and sweaters and stuff like that. And I feel good about it. And so having said that, it was interesting. And the first time when I got the Heal Thyself, I realized it's me. And then when it keep on appearing, I was a little bit puzzled. Well, I mean, what else can I do? I'm sure I'm always in the process of healing myself. But I'm glad you mentioned about it's not about just me. I'm helping to heal others.
And it's not actually you're helping to heal others. It's others identifying that they need to heal themselves.
Gotcha.
them tools and giving them that ability to do this. Because it was like somebody, you know, I'm currently at the moment in Mazatlan in Mexico. And, you know, I had a discussion with a friend that we were with, and she said, it's really lovely when people here don't just give people stuff. But they show them how to make it or do it for themselves. You know, like we give a man a fish, he eats for a day, teach a man to fish, and he'll never go hungry. And that's the concept that I get the sense that Spirit is sharing with you, that you'll be sharing with others.
And I've always done
that.
It's
like a wave as well. You know that. It's like a wave.
Yeah.
You know, our wave of how we are, and you know, this is something that I say to people: who wants to be around somebody that's miserable and negative all the time? Nobody. But hey, when we get into that vibration of somebody that's upbeat, uplifted,
right,
it drives us, it gears us to doing greater things for ourselves. Very many years ago, I went on this fantastic workshop. It was a full weekend workshop, and one of the one of the things that we did, and I to this day I still have these two pieces of wood, was to break through fears that we had. So we had this board, and I thought it was balsa wood. I truly did. Till I got the board, I'm like, this is real wood. This is like a 1x2 or whatever it is. Like it was a thick piece of wood, and we had to write on it one side what we were fearful of. And on the other side, what we wanted from that, to overcome that fear. And I thought, well, this is fairly straightforward. I can do this. So I did it. But then came the next part. We had to break it literally with our fist, that piece of wood. So I'm, a lot of people looking at this piece of wood and looking at themselves. I'm like, I can do this. I'm going to do this. I am going to do this. And a few people went up there and they hit the wood. And of course, you could see the hesitation as they came towards the wood. and they throw their fist down, and then they hit the wood, and then they hurt their hand. Like, hey, I'm not doing that. I'm going straight in there. I'm smashing through this sucker.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. I knocked because there was a person either side holding my piece of wood. And I knocked both of them flying as I basically did my power punch through it. And then after that, the people behind me did exactly the same thing. And they power punched through. And then everybody, because now somebody has done it, they haven't failed. Everybody was feeling stronger in themselves. So sometimes we become a leader without realizing we became a leader. I was doing it for myself, not for everybody else in the group. I wanted to prove to myself that I could break through my fear. I could break through this. It was not something that was going to hold me back. And I had seen the people that had gone up and had failed in their mind because they had pulled back. And in fact, the one person that had done it, I said to them, okay, if I can do it and I'm just a mealy girl, you can do it because you're a big, strong guy. And the guy just looks at me, and I'm like, come on, you're 6 foot something here. Don't even give me that. I'm 5 foot nothing.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah.
And he just did. And his whole energy shifted and changed. And every single one of us in that group, by the time it was getting to the last few people, that we were all standing there cheering them on.
Mm-hmm.
You can do this. We know you can do it. So that whole energy, that whole vibration raised up. And that's what I'm talking about. We can help others to do this for themselves, not do it for them.
It's very interesting what you said, because I've always been that natural leader, so to speak. And then the other thing, whenever I, like you were talking about, like, say, counseling or whatever you want to call it, right? Because I believe in the concept of you manage situation, you lead people. And the way you lead people is you present them with all the information so that they can make an informed decision, because I don't believe in the concept of, well, if I were you, I would do this. I'm not you, because each and every one of us have our upper and lower limits, our comfort zone, our sweet spot, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot impose what you would do comparatively to what they feel comfortable. And when they perform within that sweet spot, of their sweet spot, they will achieve maximum success. And then the other card that I got, which is very interesting when you talk about all this, is that it's the giggle factor. And all my life, I've always been, well, in this radio show, you saw how I'm just happy-go-lucky from that. Not happy-go-lucky, but but I there's a certain amount of humor and fun to it, because it's just the way it is. That's who I am.
Yeah. You know, I think people like to be around happy people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a concept, you know, and those that don't, well, they're going to hang out with the negative values and normals. That's okay. That's their choice. It's their choice. Okay, but I like to be around people that uplift me, and I can uplift them, and it sort of becomes a continuous thing. So we're having fun. If I'm not having fun, and if I'm having an off day, then I tend to just shut myself away and feed myself the things I need to uplift me. If I can't be with those people that can uplift me, I can do it myself. I can tune into stuff on the TV or on the YouTube, or read a book, or maybe I just need that quiet time.
Right.
So, yeah, I love it that we have choices every single 24 hours that we wake up. Within that 24 hours, however many minutes there is in that day, we have a choice in every given moment. And that's something that we are responsible for, the way we feel. If we're allowing other people to make us feel bad, then you've given them that. So stop doing that. You don't deserve to have somebody make you feel bad or bring you down.
Right.
So don't give them permission.
Right.
Give yourself permission to have a happy, loving, caring, joyful time, life.
Right.
That's your responsibility to you.
So true. So true. Where can someone go to get more information about you? Buy the Vibrational Energy Oracle cards, hire you as a consultant, and keep up with your latest happenings.
Okay, go to my website. It's the be-all and end-all, I always say. So it's vibrational-energy.com. When you arrive on that landing page I have, scroll down, you'll see information about me, my weekly readings that you can listen into, sign up for my newsletter, get the free downloadable limited mobile app for the vibrational energy and the vibrational Earth Children deck. They're free. Grab them. Your iPhone, your Android, have them. They're there on that page as well. Also, the podcast that I'm on. How to catch up with me or connect with me on social media. All of that is there. I also have a free Facebook spiritual development group. I invite you to join, which is, again, on my website, vibrational-energy.com. And that's where you can connect with me. So thank you for letting me do that.
Oh, fantastic. You're welcome. What is next for you?
Well, next for me this year is to get a lot more of my work online because I can't always be where everybody else is. So that for me is a commitment to myself to do that. And I'm going to have a lot more of my meditations. I'm doing some recording when I go back to Canada. So I can record my meditations and put those on there so that people can tap in and listen to them. And they're not going to be very expensive to download. I want to keep everything affordable so that people don't have excuses. And yes, I will be throwing some free ones in there as well and getting my Oracle card course as an online version and some of the other things that hopefully are going to happen and transform and appear this year. And the rest I really don't know because spirit, like anything else, keep me in that area of and allow the rest to happen. So that's basically it.
Wonderful. That's fantastic. By the way, as we end this hour, since our show is about people, family, and living life, would you like to share a recipe for living with our listeners this morning?
Turn up and be present in the moment that you're in. Don't keep looking forward. Don't keep looking backwards, because otherwise you're going to miss out on the joy of that moment. Be there. Turn up. Be present. I would say be in the now. And that's a recipe for living.
Fantastic. Debbie, thank you for the great recipe for living and for spending this hour with me on From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. To all our listeners, please join me next week, Tuesday morning, January 14. My guest will be Heather Ash Amara. She is the founder of Toltec Center of Creative Intent and the author of the Warrior Goddess Training Series. Heather Ash brings an open-hearted, inclusive worldview to her writings and teachings, which are a rich blend of Toltec wisdom, European shamanism, Buddhism, and Native American ceremony. Heather Ash and I will be having a conversation about her remarkable life's journey and her latest book, The Warrior Heart Practice, a simple process to transform confusion into clarity and pain into peace. For additional information about this show and future shows, please go to fmmktalkradio.com. Thank you for listening and have a very blessed new year. Debbie, it has been a true pleasure. Thank you again, and I wish you and your family a very blessed 2020.
And to you too. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.